Fifty in class.
सब लोगों ने काशी पालन किया, इसका बहुत ही महत्व है। अभी आप गांव के सामने इन लोगों ने उसको ये वरदान दिया, जो लोग विद्या एकादशी करेंगे या लोग जो नहीं करेंगे उनका सब जितना पुण्य है वो मोहिनी को मिले। यदि एकादशी नहीं करेंगे उनका जितना पुण्य है सब पुण्य मोहिनी को। इस तरह से एकादशी का महत्व है। What do you understand something? You should tell in prayer.
So, it said that one time the Supreme Lord Vishnu went on a tour and visited the abode of Yamaraj. So Yamaraj is the god of death. He's in charge of karma. According to one's pious or impious activities, then he gives the result. So when the Supreme Lord Vishnu went to the abode of Yamaraj, then from the southern direction, he heard a crying. Means all the people who perform bad activities, for some time they go to hell and suffer the results. Therefore, all were weeping and crying. Then Sri Vishnu asked to see Yamaraj, who is not an ordinary person. Sri Yamaraj is one of the 12 Mahajans, spiritual authorities. Therefore, Lord Vishnu asked Yamaraj, what is that noise I am hearing? Then Yamaraj said, oh Lord, you know everything, but still you are inquiring. So you may desire to know that is the crying of the living entities who are visiting hell. Then Yamaraj begged, how can I be saved? So at that time, from the body of the Supreme Lord manifested one Devi, one goddess. Her name was Ekadasi. Therefore Lord Vishnu gave the benediction, whoever respects Ekadasi and follows Ekadasi, today is Ekadasi. Whoever follows Ekadasi, then as a result, all their sins will be completely destroyed. All their sins will be destroyed and then they can go to the supreme destination. Then Yamaraj asked that sins very easy, just perform sins, do Ekadasi and go back to Godhead. Then Lord Vishnu said there's one condition. If one follows the Vidha Ekadasi. Ekadasi means Maharaj 11 days after the full moon and 11 days after the new moon. So today is Ekadasi. The one who follows Vidha Ekadasi, when the Ekadasi is mixed with the previous Dasami, then that is not pure Ekadasi. So a person who follows that Ekadasi, then they can get liberation, but they cannot go to the supreme destination. So then Yamaraj asked, then where will sin personified go? All the different types of sinful activity, where will they reside on Ekadasi? Then Vishnu said they will reside in food grains. Five types of food grains, like dal, rice, wheat, chickpeas, eggplants, things like that. So five, all the sinful activity reside in those five types of grains. Therefore, in Ekadasi, one should not eat those grains, otherwise they commit all sinful activity. So Pujapad Bhanmaraj told a nice history. There was one very religious king, his name was Rukmanga. So very strictly he used to follow Ekadasi. One time he went to one rishi named Chavan Rishi and he asked him, please tell me what were the activities of my previous birth that I could attain, become a king, and my wife also the queen, what last life did we do? Then Shaman Rishi said, actually last life you were a very debauched person and your wife was a prostitute. So, and somehow, without taking any water on the day of the codicil, she died. So because she followed the codicil by accident, because she died without taking or drinking anything, she became a queen. And in separation, you also died. That means you had, but by following the codicil by accident, you had enough past activities to become king. Therefore, this is a little off the subject, but it's interesting. There was Saddam Hussein, he was also hanged on the day of the codicil. So because he was hanged right at about 5 o'clock in the morning, the Buddha said he mustn't have eaten or drinking anything, but he was hanged on a codicil, therefore he must get also a good destination. Therefore, see, Rupmanga, he was very strict. Every day, he would, every month, he would follow the two codicils. So one time, he was moving in the forest and he saw one very attractive young lady who was crying. Then the king, she was very beautiful and young, the king asked, oh young girl, why are you weeping? She said, no one will marry me because I am Mongoli. Mongoli means if you marry her, you'll die. So of course, no one wanted to marry her. The king was a little bewildered. Then he said, what's your name? My name is Mohini. The king said, okay, I'll step up to the plate, I'll marry you. Then Mohini said, I have one condition. I promise that person I marry will never disobey my desire, will never go against my desire. Then king, because he was confused by lust, he agreed, okay. So the king was very strict on the day before codicil. People would go around bashing the bell. Tomorrow is the codicil, Savadan. If you do not follow, the king will put you to death or expel you from the kingdom. Yeah, everyone used to follow very strictly. So, on the day of the codicil, the king was prepared to follow, means complete fast, even from drinking water. Then Mohini, she said, no, my desire is that you will not follow a codicil. Then king was a big problem because he'd already given his promise. Therefore the king Mohini, she called many brahmanas. She gave them each 50 rupees and said, you should convince the king not to follow a codicil. Therefore the brahmanas made many false verses, hastram, shmastram, krastram, and they made, no, a codicil should not be followed by the king, because if the king is weak, then how he can control and protect the citizens? Then someone may come and attack and capture the kingdom. Therefore the rule is the king should not follow a codicil. Therefore who should follow a codicil? Only old people, sadhus, like that, they should follow a codicil. Then the king said, no, I must follow a codicil. But he could not go against his word.
You can go,
and he said, you can go if you want. He said, but there's one condition which you can follow a codicil, the king. What condition is that? The condition is you must cut off the head of your son and put it on a plate. And very smilingly, you should present that head to me. If you do this, then you can follow a codicil. Then the king said, listen, I want a divorce. Then the wife came, she was also very religious, and she begged, no, you should do, otherwise your words will be broken, and the glories of a codicil will be lost. Therefore the king, he was about to cut off the head of his son.
No.
Then?
He was ready to cut.
He was ready to cut off the head of his son, but by good luck, at that time, Krishna, Bhagawan, the Supreme Lord came and said, don't. We were just testing your determination to follow a codicil. Who is this girl? She is not any ordinary lady. She is Maya Devi herself. Therefore, Bhagawan was very pleased and said, whoever does not follow a codicil properly, vidaya codicil, then all their good activities go to Maya. Go Premanandi.
भागवत में भी एकादशी का वर्णन किया गया है महाराज अम्बरीश के द्वारा. उन्होंने द्वादशी का पालन किया और उसमें क्या क्या हुआ अबाउट अम्बरीश महाराज. Thank you.
ज्ञानस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुन्द्रमलिकं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the narration of the story of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Rishi is being narrated. This is a very significant story. Also, many of you must know that our Gurudev, he has the ashram, Durvasa Rishi Ashram, the very place where Durvasa Muni lived at that time, 5,000 years ago. And when we go there, we also hear the narration of the glories of Durvasa Rishi. So Maharaj Ambarish, he was a great emperor of the entire world at that time. And Maharaj Ambarish was very, very attached to Krishna Bhakti. There is a description there that Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor Achamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varanane. Sri Ambarish Maharaj was always absorbed, his mind in Krishna, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor, always meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varanane, his words constantly glorifying the glories of Sri Krishna. And all the limbs of his body, by his hands, he was washing the temple of the Supreme Lord personally, doing Mandira Marjana. With his legs, he was going and walking to the holy places, just like we are now going on Parikrama with our legs. So this is service, this is Pada Sevanam to the Supreme Lord. And in all different ways, Maharaj Ambarish was completely absorbed in serving Krishna 24 hours daily. Even though he was emperor, he did not engage someone else in doing the service in the mandir. He himself performed archan and all the different sevas. So, being a very exalted pure Vaishnava, Sri Ambarish Maharaj was a Shuddha Bhakta, and he was a pure devotee of Krishna. And he and his queen, they very carefully observed Ekadasi. They took a vow that they would observe Ekadasi every Ekadasi. Within 1 year there are 24 Ekadasis. So they took a vow that they would observe in a very, very strict way. Even the day before Ekadasi and the day after Ekadasi, they would perform it in a very strict way by curtailing the amount that they would eat. But on the Ekadasi day itself, they were performing Nirjal Ekadasi, not taking even any drop of water. So this whole process was followed by them for the entire year. And on the final Ekadasi day of that year, Maharaj Ambarish had a great procession of brahmanas, and it was a very festive occasion. And they had come there. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish lived in Mathura. So he had come there to the banks of the Jamuna River, and he was going to now, in a very ceremonious way, he was going to break his Ekadasi fast. So just within a few minutes of this time period coming, just like we have just heard that it is very important to follow the Ekadasi properly, which means also that you must break the Ekadasi during the Paran time, not before, not after. But if that Paran time expires, then you do not receive the benefit of performing that Ekadasi. And in this case, it would be the entire vow of following it for the whole year that Maharaj Ambarish would lose. So they were waiting for the appropriate moment to come. Then at that time, a very great sage, Durvasa Muni, Durvasa Rishi came there. Durvasa Rishi, he appears to be like a Brahmagyani, a fully perfected impersonalist, powerful yogi, maha yogi. Srila Gurudev says that Durvasa Rishi is so powerful that if he simply tells to you, you should die, immediately you die. He had such potency and such power. And Durvasa Rishi was also well known, and persons understood that if you displease Durvasa Rishi, then he can become very, very angry, very upset. So whenever Durvasa Rishi would appear, all the kings who would invite him to their courts, they would carefully feed him and make sure that he was appeased. So when Durvasa Rishi came, Oh, Maharaj Amrish very cordially, very respectfully greeted him, and then he invited him, Oh, Durvasa Rishi, now I am going to break my Ekadasi fast and there will be a very, very big Maha feast. So I invite you to please come and also celebrate this feast with me. So then Durvasa Rishi said, yes, I'll be very happy. But first, I have to go to bathe before accepting this Mahaprasad. So Durvasa Rishi went to the nearby Jamuna River, and there he began to bathe. But he was taking some time, and Ambarish Maharaj was waiting for him to return. Now this created a very serious problem, because if he would not return in time before the Paran time, then Durvasa Rishi, he was not able to break his fast because it would be dishonoring this Rishi. Ambarish Maharaj would not be able to break his fast because he would be dishonoring this Rishi. It would be against the Dharmic principles, and Durvasa Rishi would become very angry. But on the other hand, if he did not break his fast, then he would lose the results of all of his fasting and all of his vows, his vrata. So then he consulted with his brahmanas, and they advised him, there is a way that you can be saved, and that is that you can take some sharanamrita. If you take a few drops of sharanamrita, then this is considered that you have broken your fast, but also not broken your fast. Simultaneously, you can accomplish both purposes. So then Maharaj Ambarish, seeing that that moment was now coming, drawing nigh, so he decided, I better do this as the Brahmins are suggesting. So then he took a few drops of sharanamrita from the lotus feet of Vishnu in his hands, and he sipped this along with his queen. At that time, Durvasa Rishi, who understands everything, he is all-knowing, Trikalagya, and he, such a maha, powerful yogi, he immediately understood that Maharaj Ambarish had insulted him by breaking his fast without him being there present. So now Durvasa Rishi became very, very angry. And he came out of the water and he began to approach that place. And as he was approaching from a distance, he pulled one hair out of his head, a lock of hair. He threw it on the ground. And immediately, a huge, fiery demon, very reddish, very ferocious, sprang up by the power of his mystic yoga. And Durvasa Rishi gave him the instruction to destroy Maharaj Ambarish. So now, Maharaj Ambarish, he saw this fiery demon approaching him from a distance. And he simply stood there with folded palms, completely dependent upon Krishna, only praying to Krishna. And he was feeling very badly that he had offended Durvasa Rishi. Now this fiery demon was coming closer and closer. But then what happened? Lord Narayan, who is the protector of his pure devotee, suddenly Lord Narayan, his Sudarshan Chakra, the ultimate weapon in the entire creation, immediately came there in the sky and destroyed that demon. So now, Durvasa Rishi, who was still coming near, he saw that the demon was destroyed by the Sudarshan Chakra, and then he saw the Sudarshan Chakra now turn toward him and began to pursue him. So Durvasa Rishi, he began to feel very, very much fear for his life, and he took off, began to fly through the airwaves, and began to travel all throughout the entire universe. And as he was traveling, from behind him, the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing him, and it was burning him also from behind. But wherever Durvasa Rishi went, Sudarshan Chakra also chased after him. So first of all, Durvasa Rishi, he went to Lord Brahma, and he begged Lord Brahma, please, somehow or other, help me. I don't know what to do now. This Sudarshan Chakra is going to kill me. Lord Brahma told him, I'm sorry, I cannot help. This is the ultimate weapon of Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. I have no power, no jurisdiction in this area. Oh, you can go to Lord Shiva. He may be able to help you. Then immediately he rushed toward Lord Shiva. And when he came to Lord Shiva's abode, Lord Shiva also told him, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. This is the weapon of my worshipful lordship, Lord Narayan. Oh, you must go to him. He is the only one who can help you. So then Durvasa Rishi, with his mystic power, he went to the abode of Lord Kiradakshai Vishnu within the material universe. And there, as he approached Lord Vishnu, he fell down at the lotus feet, doing dandavat pranams in front of Lord Narayan, and begging and begging, "Oh please, please, please save me from the Sudarshan Chakra." Then Lord Vishnu, he looked at him and he said, "I cannot save you, because aham bhakta parahino yasvatantra ivadvija sadubir grasta hridayam bhaktair bhakta jana priya. Aham bhakta parathino. I am completely subservient to my bhakta. Yasvatantra ivadvija. Oh Brahmana, I am not independent of my pure devotee. Sadubir grasta hridayo. I am always in the heart of my pure devotee, bhaktair bhakta jana priya. And even the bhaktas of my bhaktas, they are very dear to me." So then, what is it? Sadunam hridayam mahyam.
Hridayantaham madanate najaminti nandekho managopi.
Yes, the sadhus, they know nothing but me. They are completely absorbed in me, and I also do not know anything but my sadhus, my pure devotees. So if you want to be saved from the Sudarshan Chakra, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You're going to have to go to this great pure devotee, my pure bhakta, who you offended. You're going to have to fall at his lotus feet. Only he can help you. So immediately Durvasa Rishi took the instructions of Lord Narayan, and very quickly he came back through the airways, and he came back to this earth planet, and he came back to the place where Ambarish Maharaj had been standing. It was going on one whole year that Durvasa Rishi was chasing all over the universe. But Maharaj Ambarish didn't move from that place for the entire year. And then, when Durvasa Rishi came and fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj, immediately Ambarish Maharaj prayed to the Sudarshan Chakra. And immediately hovering in the sky, the Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Vishnu now subsisted, desisted from attacking Durvasa Rishi, and the Sudarshan Chakra began to disappear and go away. And then at that moment, now Durvasa Rishi, who was completely astonished, he said, "On this day, on this very day, this blessed day, I have seen the glories of the pure Vaishnavas, of the pure devotees. Because those pure devotees, they have no envy against anyone. In this case I have seen, even I tried to kill this pure bhakta, Maharaj Ambarish. But what did he do? Only he prayed for me. He prayed that I would be saved." So in this way, Durvasa Rishi, he glorified Maharaj Ambarish. And Ambarish Maharaj very happily embraced him and forgave him of the offense. And then he invited him to take Mahaprasad with him, and they sat and observed a great feast. So in this way, Durvasa Rishi actually glorified Maharaj Ambarish. Durvasa Rishi is a partial manifestation of Lord Shiva, who is Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So Lord Shiva, actually, he always plays this role as Durvasa Rishi of so-called Brahmagyani, but actually he is a great bhakta, great Vaishnava, and in this way he showed the glories of the pure devotee Maharaj Ambarish. So by hearing this story, we understand that the pure devotee of Krishna, he is very, very dear to Krishna, and one must be very careful not to commit any offenses against such bhakta. And if for some reason offenses are committed, there is only one way to be forgiven, and that is to go to that very Vaishnava that one has surrendered to and beg forgiveness at his lotus feet. So by the glories of Maharaj Ambarish, we understand what is the position of a pure Vaishnava, Shuddha Bhakta, and how he very carefully observed Ekadasi Vrat. Vansha Kalpatunga Shtakutas in the Guru.
का तात्पर्य है हमें पांच ज्ञान इंद्रिय और पांच कर्म इंद्रिय और मन एकादश इंद्रिय हैं 11। उस दिन महाराज अम्बरीश जैसे अपने समस्त इंद्रियों को भगवान में लगा देते थे एकादशी के दिन में कि उपवास से नहीं होगा। उपवास तो जरूरी है और उसके साथ में मन से भगवान का स्मरण, उनकी लीलाओं का स्मरण, कान से भगवान की लीला कथाओं का स्मरण, मुख से भगवान की लीला कथाओं का और नाम का कीर्तन, अपने समस्त अंगों से भगवान को प्रणाम करना, धाम में परिक्रमा करना इत्यादि एकादश इंद्रियों को उस दिन भगवान में लगाए। इसलिए एकादशी व्रत। दूसरी बात, एकादशी के दिन से लेकर के पूर्णिमा तक चंद्र हम लोगों के शरीर को, रस को खींचता है, इसलिए एकादशी यदि खींचता है तो उससे बहुत प्रकार का रोग होता है। इसलिए एकादशी का उपवास करें तो चंद्र का वह प्रभाव शरीर पर नहीं पड़ता है, शरीर निरोग होता है। और भी 7 दिन के बाद में, 6 दिन काम करने के बाद में सरकारी दफ्तरों में 1 दिन की छुट्टी रहती है, इसलिए 6 दिन खाने के बाद में 1 दिन उपवास लेने से शरीर स्वस्थ रहता है और भजन के अनुकूल रहता है। इसलिए भी एकादशी का व्रत करना चाहिए। चैतन्य महाप्रभु जगन्नाथपुरी में थे, वहां के पंडे लोग कोई भी एकादशी नहीं करते हैं, वो महाप्रसाद खाते हैं। तो एक दिन एकादशी के दिन चैतन्य महाप्रभु गंभीरा में सब भक्तों को साथ लेकर के वो दिन कीर्तन कर रहे थे एकादशी का और उपवास में थे। पंडे लोग जगन्नाथ जी का बहुत सुस्वादु प्रसाद लेकर के उनके पास में आए और उनके सामने रख दिया। महाप्रभु जी ने स्तव स्तुति वंदना आरंभ की और सारी रात महाप्रसाद का परिक्रमा किया और कीर्तन में बिता दिया। सवेरे हुआ तो समुद्र में स्नान करने गए, वहां से आकर के अपना अनुहिक इत्यादि किया और सब वैष्णवों को प्रसाद दिया और महाप्रभु ने उपवास रखा था। तब हम लोगों को भी जरूर उपवास रखना चाहिए। वृंदावन में भी एक संप्रदाय है जिसके प्रथम आचार्य एक समय अपने गुरु गोपाल भट्ट के पास में गए एकादशी के दिन और देखा कि पान खा रहे हैं। उनके गुरु ने जी ने कहा कि आज एकादशी के दिन में पान खा रहे हो, पान तो वैसे ही नहीं लेना चाहिए, किंतु एकादशी के दिन तुमने लिया। तो हाँ जी लिया। अच्छा तो ठाकुर को ये ठाकुर को भोग लगा है इसलिए हमने लिया। तो ठाकुर जी को जो चावल दाल और सब अन्न भोग लगता है उसका क्या करते हो, तो उसको भी हम प्रसाद पाते हैं। ठाकुर जी का प्रसाद का आदर करना चाहिए। तो जाओ तुमने अपने शिष्य, तू हमारा शिष्य नहीं है, तुझसे हमारा कोई भी संबंध नहीं है। तो वो कहीं जमुना में गए, जमुना में कूद करके प्राण छोड़ दिया और तब से उस संप्रदाय के लोग हम लोगों के संप्रदाय से अपने अर्थात गोपाल भट्ट के गौड़ीय वैष्णव संप्रदाय से कोई संबंध नहीं रखते और अपना अलग से ही संप्रदाय रखते।
एकादशी नहीं करते
चावल और एकादशी नहीं खाते हैं, चावल दाल कढ़ी और परमान्न खीर लड्डू सब कुछ खाते हैं।
आप लोग एकादशी करें, यू मस्ट डू एकादशी, इफ यू आर नॉट फॉलोइंग एकादशी, नो मर्सी ऑफ कृष्ण, नो मर्सी ऑफ चैतन्य।
So, Srila Guruji is saying, what is the real meaning of Ekadasi? Only fasting on this day cannot be called complete Ekadasi. Therefore, Ekadasi means 11. Therefore, because we have five Gyanindriya, senses by which we accumulate knowledge, like eyes, ears, mouth, nose, and sense of touch. Also, we have five Karmindriya, senses by which we perform activity, means this sense of the power of speech, the power of moving arms and legs, power of digestion, and two others. These 10 plus the mind are 11. So really, Ekadasi means to completely engage these 11 senses in the service of Hari Guru Vaishnava. Just like Ambarish Maharaj did, Ekadasi does not simply mean fasting. Therefore, by mind we should remember Krishna. By ears we should hear the topics of Krishna. By mouth we should chant the names and activities of Krishna. By feet even we can perform the service of circumambulating the holy dharma, parikrama. There are many other good reasons to follow Ekadasi despite bhakti. You should know that the body is composed of 85% water. Therefore on the moon attracts the water. Therefore we have high tides and low tides. Therefore, on this day, if we fast completely, the excess water in the body will be dispelled and that person will never experience any disease. Also, even the ordinary mundane government, 6 days you work and the seventh day you rest. Therefore, if the body is just moving, the body should also have 1 day of rest. By fasting on Ekadasi, the digestion and all the bodily functions of the body will be healthy. So you know that in Jagannath Puri, none of the Pandas follow Ekadasi. On that day, they eat everything. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a very strict follower of Ekadasi. Therefore, the Pandas were worried how we can make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu break his vow of Ekadasi. There on the day of Ekadasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was engaged in kirtan, the chanting of the name, and fasting completely. Therefore, on this day of Ekadasi, the priests of Jagannath Puri bought many, many nice types of Jagannath prasad, sweet rice, malpura, so many different types of sabji. And they said, you know the glories of the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he kept all the prasadam in the middle of the courtyard, and him along with all his devotees chanted the holy name and circumambulated the Mahaprasad all night. After doing dandavats and offering prayers to the Mahaprasad. Then in the morning, Mahaprabhu went and took bath, performed the chanting of his Gayatri, then with all the devotees, they took the Mahaprasad. Therefore, Mahaprabhu taught us, those in his Sampradaya must follow Ekadasi. If one Sampradaya, don't mention any names, but their Acharya was one disciple of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. Then on the day of Ekadasi, that so-called disciple came to Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami chewing paan, betel nut. Then Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami said, why are you eating the paan? Today is Ekadasi. He said, but Gurudev, this is the Mahaprasad coming from the deity. He said, still I told you not to take an Ekadasi. All the rice and the prasadam that we offer to Krishna, what do you do with that? He said, Gurudev, I also take that. That's also the mercy of Krishna. Then Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami rejected him. If you do not follow Ekadasi or my words, then you are not my disciple. Get out from here. Then he went to the bank of the Yamuna and gave up his body. Therefore, even today, those Sampradaya have no relation with the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And on the day of Ekadasi, they do not follow Ekadasi, they eat everything. Therefore, unless we follow Ekadasi, we cannot achieve the mercy of Krishna.
बृहद भगवतामृतम। कल हम लोगों ने वृंदावन के संबंध में बताया था, बहुत सुंदर वृंदावन है। वृंदावन वृंदाश्रमू गाय के समूह को, गोपियों के समूह को, गोपों के समूह को, यहां तक कि कृष्ण को भी ये वृंदावन पालन करते हैं, इसलिए ये वृंदावन है। वृंदावनम सखी गोपितनो देव की सुत पदम मुझ लब्ध लक्ष्मी गोविंद वेणु मनमत्त मयूर नित्यम प्रख्यात सांगमाल पवक्ता समस्त। ये कृष्ण गोचारण करने के लिए गए हैं और वहां पर कृष्ण बंसी बजा रहे हैं और गोपियां अपने घरों से उस बंसी को सुन रही हैं और उसके भाव में विभावित हो रही और एक दूसरे से इसे कह रही है। कोई गोपी कह रही है, सखी ये वृंदावन कृष्ण के चरणों के स्पर्श से स्वर्ग से भी ये अधिक महान बन रहा है, पृथ्वी का कृति विस्तार कर रहा है। यहां के मयूर कृष्ण की बंसी नाद को सुन करके उसे मेघ गर्जन समझ करके नृत्य करने लगते हैं और जितने भी प्राणी हैं गोवर्धन के सानु देश में बैठ के चुपचाप सुनते हैं। सारी क्रियाओं को बोलना, उठना, बैठना, उड़ना सब भूल जाते हैं। ऐसे यहां पर वृंदावन है। इस प्रकार से महाराज परीक्षित अपनी माता को ये सब श्लोक सुना करके कह रहे हैं। कृष्ण अपने समस्त सखाओं के साथ और वो गायों के साथ में वृंदावन में प्रवेश किया। कहां से प्रवेश किया? छठी करा ग्राम से, और समस्त प्राणियों को मोहित करने वाला वेणु बजाया। उस वेणु नाद को श्रवण करके ब्रज के घरों में रहने वाली गोपियां भी प्रेम रस में निमग्न हो गई और किसी एक गोपी ने कहा, हे राधे, सखी राधे, इस वृंदावन का महात्मा इस समय तो केवल स्वर्गलोक नहीं, ब्रह्मांड के ऊपर उठकर और नारायण के धाम को भी, वैकुंठ को भी पाकर, द्वारका और मथुरा को भी पाकर वृंदावन में गोपियों के कर्णों में प्रवेश कर रहा है। अथवा सभी लोगों से अतीत वैकुंठ लोक से भी भूलोक की कृति का विस्तार कर रहा है। स्वर्ग में या द्वारका में, मथुरापुर मथुरा में, गोलोक धाम में कृष्ण की बंसी नहीं बजी, उनका गोप पेश भी नहीं रहता। यह वृंदावन में ही होता है जहां पर कृष्ण अपने चरणों में नाना प्रकार के चिन्हों को धारण कर नंगे पांव जहां पर के विचरण करते हैं। रामलीला में भी विचरण तो किया किंतु उनकी पृथ्वी की उस समय उतनी शोभा नहीं हुई जितनी की शोभा हुई वृंदावन में। इसलिए श्री कृष्ण के चरण कमलों को पाकर के लक्ष्मी की संपूर्ण शोभा इस वृंदावन ने प्राप्त किया। यहां पर लक्ष्मी जी स्वयं झाड़ू देती है। यहाँ के पौधे वृक्ष लताओं को पूर्ण रूप से हरा भरा रखती है जिससे कृष्ण आनंद के साथ में इसे क्रीड़ा करें। यहाँ पर श्री मत पदाम्बुज युगल कहने से भगवान की पादुका को मत समझना, उनके चरण कमलों को ही समझो। चरण कमलों को ये वृंदावन प्राप्त करता है, खाली पैर नहीं चलते। कंकड़ और पत्थर चुभेंगे, वृंदा देवी ने पत्थरों को रबड़ के समान में इतना सुंदर सुकोमल बना दिया है कि कृष्ण के चरणों में चुभते नहीं। अथवा कृष्ण के सुकोमल चरणों के स्पर्श से यहाँ के कांटे कंकड़ भी बहुत मुलायम कमल की पखुड़ियों के समान हो जाते हैं। इसलिए वृंदावन की वैकुंठ से भी अधिक महिमा और भी कारण है। इस वृंदावन में कृष्ण गौओं का पालन करते हैं, पेड़ फन को शरण करके मयूर समझते हैं आकाश में मेघ गर्जन कर रहा है, और वो पंखों को फैलाकर एकदम नृत्य करने लगते हैं। उस समय कृष्ण की पेड़ ध्वनि पर जो नृत्य करते हैं मानो मयूर प्रसन्न हो जाते हैं, और तुम अच्छा वाद्य बजा रहा है। इसलिए पंख छाड़ करके एक छोड़कर छोड़ देते हैं और कृष्ण को देते हैं, और कृष्ण पुरस्कार समझकर अपने सिर पर उस मयूर पंख को धारण करते हैं। विशेष करके धारण करते हैं किस लिए, उसमें राधा जी का नाम है, राधा जी का नाम है मयूर पंख में। इसलिए कृष्ण को बहुत ही प्यारे हैं। उस समय जितने भी पक्षी कोयल है और सुंदर गान करने वाली कोकी पपी है, और जितने सुंदर सुंदर पशु पक्षी हैं, वे कलरव करना, गाना बंद कर, आंख बंद कर, मयूर का नृत्य कैसे हो रहा है और कृष्ण कैसे बजा रहे हैं, अपने कानों से उसको पान कर रहे हैं। गोविंद्र गायों के अधिपति अथवा गोविंद पद से गौओं के साथ लीला रसी मयूर पंख और गुंजा से बने हुए कानों के भूषण कदंब के फूल कानों पर रख करके कृष्ण बलदेव जी के साथ में गोचारण कर रहे हैं। उनके हाथों में वेणु है, बंसी प्रिय सखी, ये बंसी कैसी है, कृष्ण की प्रिय सखी है, उसको कभी छोड़ते नहीं है कभी भी। महामाधुर्यमयी धर्मी गोविंद होने की अपेक्षा न करके ये वृंदावन अपनी इसी कृति से वैकुंठ की महिमा को भी पराजित कर रहा है। यहाँ पर देवकी शुद्ध पदाम्बुज, देवकी शुद्ध माने देवकी का ही, यशोदा जी का नाम दूसरा नाम देवकी है, इसलिए देवकी देवकी नंदन। लक्ष लक्ष्मी पद का तात्पर्य है किसी समय में कृष्ण सत्यभामा को प्रसन्न करने के लिए इंद्रलोक में गए पारिजात पुष्प को लाए, तथापि स्वर्ग को वृंदावन के समान श्री चरण कमलों की का चिन्ह उसको नहीं मिला। इंद्र के साथ में युद्ध हुआ, वो भी गरुड़ के ऊपर में चढ़ करके उन्होंने युद्ध किया, उनके चरण का चिन्ह स्वर्ग इत्यादि में नहीं पड़ता है, यहां तक कि वैकुंठ में भी नहीं। इसलिए वृंदावन की ऐसी शोभा संपत्ति है। विशेषतः गोविंद की मोहन वेणु के मंत्र से सुंदर स्वर से आकर्षित होकर के लक्ष्मी वहां आती है, वृंदावन की सेवा करती है, सुंदर सुंदर कुंज बनाती है, लताओं में सुंदर पुष्प और फल लगाती है, वृक्षों में इतना सुंदर फल लगाती है कि वो छूट जाते हैं। उनकी पेड़ ध्वनि को सुनकर मयूर सब आदि सभी प्राणी सब चेष्टाओं को भूल करके और मयूर का नृत्य सुनते हैं, देखते हैं और कृष्ण की बंसी सुनते हैं। अवतारी समस्त सत्व और निमित्त हो जाए कृष्ण की बंसी जी गोपी और दूसरी दूसरी भी पशु पक्षी पपी है सब चुपचाप हो जाते हैं, स्थिर हो जाते हैं। एक तरह से वृंदावन का वृंदावन की महिमा है, स्वर्ग से भी अधिक महिमा है। संताए अब अत्रि अबला खरीदार से भरे जतराम कृष्ण चरण स्पर्श प्रमोद मानम ततो तनोति सह गो गणयोस्तयोर्ज और एक गोपी कहती है कहो अब लाओ गिरिराज गोवर्धन कैसे सौभाग्यशाली हैं, ये हरिदास जितने भी हैं उन सब हरिदासों से श्रेष्ठ है। तीन हरिदास हैं युधिष्ठिर महाराज और उद्धव जी और फिर से गोवर्धन, ये महाराज युधिष्ठिर हरिदास है और उद्धव जी हरिदास वर है और ये हरिदास वर के सबसे श्रेष्ठ हैं। क्यों? कृष्ण की सेवा करते हैं, सुंदर निर्मल जल देते हैं सरोवर जिसमें गायें भी पीती हैं, सुंदर हरी हरी घास देती है जैसे उनकी गायें चरती हैं बछड़े चरते हैं और कृष्ण के लिए गेहूं देते हैं जिसे अपने अंगों का को रंग करते हैं, सखाओं को बैठने के लिए सुंदर आसन देते हैं, खाने के लिए केले अमरूद इत्यादि तरह तरह के फल ये सब देते हैं। इसलिए केवल कृष्ण ही नहीं कृष्ण के परिकरों की भी सब प्रकार से सेवा और किया करते हैं। अब गोवर्धन जी का महात्मा वर्णन करते हैं, ये कहती है गोपियां पूर्वोक्त गोपियों में से कोई दूसरी गोपी हम आए बड़े आनंद से हर्ष से कि राज गोवर्धन कितने गोवर्धन ये बड़े सौभाग्यवान है, हम का प्रयोग हर्ष में या बीच में या आश्चर्य रूप में कह रहे हैं। अयम उनकी दृष्टि में गोवर्धन में तो है नहीं अपने घरों में है किंतु उनके हृदय में गोवर्धन की स्फूर्ति हुई और अमृत दिखला करके कह रही है सखी देखो हम अबला है, हम में शक्ति नहीं है कि है कि और लज्जा आदि के बेटियों को तोड़कर कृष्ण से मिल सके और हरिदास गोवर्धन कृष्ण उन्मुक्त भाव से उनके ऊपर में खेलते हैं, उनके कुंजों में तरह तरह की पीड़ा करते हैं। गोवर्धन का कितना सौभाग्य श्री हरि जिस प्रकार से सबके संपूर्ण पापों को दुखों को और चित्त को हर लेते हैं गोवर्धन भी उसी प्रकार से क्योंकि कृष्ण ही गोवर्धन बने हुए हैं हमारे सारे संकटों को चिंताओं को सबको हरण कर। यदि कोई गोवर्धन की परिक्रमा करते हैं और एक लता को दूसरे लता से जोड़ देते हैं, वृक्ष की डालियों को जोड़ देते हैं, समझते हैं कि ये विवाह करना चाहता है या चाहती है, विवाह करा दे एक ईंट के ऊपर दूसरा ईंट तीसरा ईंट दे दो, इतने तल्ले का मकान बनाना चाहते, जाओ तुम्हारा पूरा हो जाएगा। और जो कृष्ण की सेवा या राधिका जी की सेवा करना चाहते हैं उसके लिए चिंता करते हैं, जो अपना धन हम कैसे दें। तो यदि और कुछ नहीं चाहता, राधा दास ही चाहता है, तो उसको राधा दास ही दे देते हैं, इतने बड़े कृपालु हैं। इसलिए हम लोग हमारे संप्रदाय में गोवर्धन जी को हरिदास वर्ज्य श्रेष्ठ हरिदास कहते हैं, उनको भगवान के रूप में नहीं, भगवान के रूप में उतना सुंदर पद नहीं दे सकते हैं जितना कि गिरिराज के रूप में दे सकते हैं। इस तरह से गिरिराज जी का गोपियों ने गोपी कौन गोपी वेणुगीत में ये वर्णन करती हैं, और भी वृंदावन की ये बहुत ही गुणगान करेगी। आज हम लोग यहीं पर पाठ समाप्त करते हैं। अभी आप लोग यहाँ पर 10 दिन हैं, 10 दिन तक थे, यहाँ के पंडा जी ने हम लोगों को सब दर्शन कराया, इसलिए आप लोगों से निवेदन है कि इस तरह से तो पंडे एक एक आदमी से एक एक 100 दो दो 100 चार चार 100 हजार 2000 रुपए ले लेते हैं, किंतु आप लोगों से निवेदन है कि पंडे के लिए जितना आप लोग दे सकते हैं खुशी से आप लोग अवश्य दें। आप नरा पंडा जन अवश्य कुछ दक्षिणा प्रदान करें, नचे हमारे परिक्रमा सफल है ना। ओ वी आर मूविंग हियर ट्रेवलिंग हियर फॉर 10 डेज एंड पंडा इज हेल्पिंग एंड आवर दिस इज रीति that we also give some dakshina to Pandav. So I am requesting you all to give some donation for Pandav. Brahmachari will go and collect. Oh, you can go. Take. You can take donation from even Brahmachari Sannyasi because they have some money. They are not empty in pocket. You must then give something.
All.
So you should give all. Oh, all looks up to the job.
So now we are giving. So now we are giving from the Bhakti Prihad Bhagavatam reading of Sri Sanatana Goswami.
All sannyasis also. Have you given?
Huh? Very much, very much.
I know that your pocket is very heavy.
Shame on you. Therefore, Sri Pariksit Maharaj is repeating the glories. Hey, everybody, little listen, okay? Therefore, now we are hearing from Sri Sanatana Goswami, glories of Vrindavan. These verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by the gopis, Pariksit Maharaj is repeating to his mother. Vrindavan Sakhi Bhavo, Vrindavan Ki Shittam, Yad Devati Sita Pahadu Sunyalakti Makshi. The gopis are residing in their house, but in their hearts they are having darshan of Krishna. Oh Sakhi, just see the beauty of Krishna as he enters the forest of Vrindavan. He is playing his flute. That flute sound is so sweet that hearing it, everyone becomes absorbed in attraction to Krishna. Therefore, this Vrindavan is even more fortunate than the heavenly planets. And this Vrindavan herself is expanding the glories of the earth planet. Hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, even the clouds become stunned in the sky. The birds, which are normally restless, the birds forget everything and become stunned like perfected sadhus and rishis. Therefore, as Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan, going towards Chatika at Govardhan, He plays his flute and captures the mind of everyone. Hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, even the gopis in the house become intoxicated and maddened. Therefore, one gopi says to another, "Oh Radharani, what to speak of the heavenly planets? What to speak of the upper heavenly planets up to Brahmalok? What to speak of Brahmalok? This Vrindavan is even more opulent and more beautiful than even Vaikuntha, Dwarka, or Mathura. And this flute sound has crossed all and entered into the ears of the gopis. In the heavenly planets, in Dwarka, in Goloka Vrinda, in Golok, and in Vaikuntha, there is no flute. Krishna there is not dressed as a coward boy. These things are only available in Vrindavan. Therefore Krishna marks Vrindavan with his naked feet, with his bare feet, sorry. On Krishna's feet there are 19 signs. These signs cannot be seen anywhere else. They can only be seen in Vrindavan. Therefore this Vrindavan is so attractive, it has stolen the heart even of Lakshmi. Therefore she also comes to Vrindavan and performs menial services like sweeping Vrindavan. Hearing Krishna's flute, the trees become maddened, and in happiness they blossom many flowers and produce many fruits, therefore they bow down to Krishna. In Vaikuntha and other places, you should understand that Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi, here Padam Bhuja does not indicate the shoes of Krishna. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna goes cow grazing, there are no shoes. Therefore here, Padam Bhuja means he is bare feet. Krishna's feet are so soft that even the thorns and hard stones of Vrindavan become very soft like the petals of a lotus. Therefore, as Krishna goes cow grazing and plays upon his flute, then the deep rumbling of the venue resembles the thunder coming from the clouds. Therefore, clouds and rain are very dear to the peacock. Therefore, hearing the deep sound of Krishna's flute, the peacocks begin dancing. When Krishna's flute set playing is so nice, the peacocks give a donation of their feather to Krishna. And Krishna keeps that feather upon his head very carefully with great love and affection. Therefore that peacock feather is also so dear to Krishna. Hearing Krishna's flute sound, birds like cuckoos and quails become stunned. They cease their restless activities of chirping and singing. And with open eyes, they drink the beauty of the scene of Krishna dancing surrounded by the peacocks. How is Krishna looking? With his dark blue complexion, with a vanamala, a garland of five different types of flowers, with a night lily upon his ear. He is called Govinda because he is the Indra of the cows. That flute is very dear to him, therefore Bamsi Priyasaki. That flute is so dear to Krishna, never leaves his hand. Therefore, when Krishna enters Vrindavan, the beauty of Vrindavan defeats the opulence of Vaikuntha. Yad Devaki Suta Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi, Yavishka Soda Devi has two names. One is Devaki. Therefore, Devaki Nandan means here Sri Yasoda Nandan, Sri Krishna. Therefore, Lakshmi left the Vaikuntha to come to this Vrindavan. Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi. Why did Lakshmi come to Vrindavan? What could she attain here that she could not attain anywhere else? When Krishna went to the heavenly planets to take the Parijat flower to pacify his queen Satyabhama, at that time Krishna was fighting with all the demigods headed by Indra. Therefore, Krishna did not descend to the ground because he was fighting from the back of Garuda. Therefore, even in the heavenly planets, there is no footprints of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna's Mohan Venu, his flute which bewilders everyone, by that mantra, he made even Lakshmi mad, and she left the Vaikuntha and came to this Vrindavan to serve it. Therefore, Vrindavan offers flowers and fruits, and she serves Krishna in many ways. Vrindavan's glories are described everywhere. Hantiyati Adala Haridasa Bajo Nidrana Krishna Namina Spasha Namoditaha. One gopi says, O Sahi, just see the glories of this Giriraj Govardhan. He is the Agopika Pramurito Haridasa Bajo. He is the best of the servants of Hari. Scripture has described three Haridasas. The first Haridas is Yudhisthira Maharaj. But superior to him, Haridas Bhag is Sri Uddhavji. But superior to him is Haridasa Bhaja, which is Sri Govardhan. Why is Govardhan so glorious as the best servant of Sri Krishna? Because not only does he serve Krishna directly, he also serves Krishna's associates. By offering fruits to the cowherd boys, grass for the cows, water, minerals which decorate Krishna's body, he provides platforms for the sake of the cowherd boys to sit on. He produces fruits like guava and mangoes for the enjoyment of Krishna and his associates. Therefore, he is the topmost. Therefore, Hanta Adriyava. Hanta means, the gopis means, how astonishing, how wonderful. Therefore, the gopis in their homes are seeing Govardhan in their hearts. And they are criticizing themselves. We cannot meet Krishna freely. Neither can we serve him like Govardhan. Therefore, Govardhan is most fortunate. Krishna is playing upon him and performing many leelas in his caves. Therefore, who is Govardhan? Krishna himself has become Govardhan. Therefore, he has stolen the minds of the gopis. Therefore, when we perform parikrama of Govardhan, then many people like tie little bits of thread to trees. They stick one brick on top of another brick. One. Therefore, that means, by joining two twigs together, I hope I can get married by the mercy of God. One who puts one brick, one stone on top of another stone, I hope I can build a big house. One story, two story, three story. Therefore, we should not have any material desires when we perform the worship of Govardhan. Otherwise, we will be cheated. Therefore, that person who desires nothing else except the service of Radhika, then Giriraj also gives that. Therefore, in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, we worship Govardhan not as Krishna, not as the Supreme Lord, but we worship him as the servant of Krishna. Because as a servant of Krishna, he can give something that even Krishna cannot give. Therefore, the gopis glorify Vrindavan and Giriraj by this verses collected in the Srimad Bhagavatam known as Venu Geet. And we will hear many, many more glories of Govardhan tomorrow night. Gopakande!
You have heard the glories of Vrindavan. Everywhere you are going, and there feet dust of Radha and Krishna and all gopis. Everywhere. If you walk, or the dust coming on your head and everywhere. Uddhava wanted, and he prayed only for one dust, and you are having millions and millions of. How fortunate you! Day after tomorrow we will go to Govardhan. And there we will spend our 18 days there. And from there everywhere we will go by bus. And we will do parikrama of Govardhan. Don't pray any worldly home. Only you should pray Radhika Dasya. O Govardhan Dehi. Nija Nikat Nivasam Govardhan. Dehi Govardhan Nija Nikat Nivasam. Oh, like this. Don't ask any worldly boon. Otherwise you will be cheated. So, day after tomorrow you are leaving. Tomorrow, rest day. In morning, we will do kirtan and pravachan. And after that, you should be ready to go your trip.
you should prepare your beds and everything, and next day in very morning at about 7 or 8 or 9 we will start our parikrama from here to Babulaban, Paitha, Chandra Sarovar and other. And in midday at about 1 or 2 we will reach Govardhan and we will be there. Go Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.